Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, everyone. Naturally, my name's Joe Jastrzemski. I'm the county clerk here, and I want to thank everybody for coming out. One of the things that I'm most proud of in being county clerk is to recognize April each and every year as Organ Donor Awareness Month. And the reason I do that is because, first and foremost, I had two people very close in my life that passed away at an early age because of organ donors. One of my closest cousins in life passed away at a young age when he was in his 20s because he couldn't get a kidney. And then I was the best man of another friend of mine in his wedding. He was lucky enough to get a heart transplant, but unfortunately, you know, he only lasted a short time as well. But when I became county clerk, one of the things I didn't realize was the need for organ donors. I had no clue myself, so I made it a mission to become an organ donor the first year as county clerk, and I asked my staff, who does, as you can see, a tremendous job in promoting it as well. So I became an organ donor back in 2015, and in Niagara County alone, we were only at the 40% mark. Today, in Niagara County, we are at 66.5%.
Outstanding.
One of the things I'm most proud of. And before I go any farther and read off some of these other numbers, I want to recognize some people here today. Today we have Pasquale McGuire. He was with Connect Life Event Coordinator. Where are you, Pasquale? Right there. Thank you for coming out. We also have Jason White, who drove in from the Albany area. He's the Director of Community Engagement for Donate Life in New York State. And New York State, along with Commissioner Schroeder, has done a tremendous job over the years in promoting what we're doing here today. They promoted each and every day at the state level. And thank you for that, Jason. Thank you for that, Commissioner. Greatly appreciated. Because, you know, New York State lags. New York State lags throughout the rest of the country. But as I was talking with Jason, you know, we were down in the, as I said, the 40% mark. Here in Niagara County, we're above the national average, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But, you know, in New York State, you know, under their leadership, we're creeping up there. They're at 48%, Jason, and we are growing, and we're going to, before you know it, we're going to be over the 50% mark here in New York State. So thank you for that. We also have Commissioner Schroeder's here from the New York State DMV, who also drove into Albany to show the importance of what we're doing here today. So thank you for driving in, Commissioner. Think about that. The commissioner from New York State, of all of New York State, here today to recognize the two people that we're going to recognize here shortly and allow them to tell you their story. We also have Andrew Dugan. Unfortunately, Senator Ort couldn't be here today because he is in Albany taking care of some business, but thank you for coming out, Andrew. We appreciate that, and thank you for the senator for all of his support as well. We have Angelo Morinello, who will be talking to you very shortly. Angelo here is the assemblyman here in our area. He's the assemblyman in the 148th District, who is a big supporter on what we're here doing here today, and asked if he could say a few words on behalf of the state as well. We have Cameron Kinner from Assemblyman Norris's office. The assemblyman couldn't be here, but Cameron's going to be here as well to represent Assemblyman Norris. We have Rich Andres. Rich, where are you? He's our legislator from the 8th District here in North Tonawanda. We have Jesse Gooch, who was also a legislator here from the 7th District. We have former Chairman Bill Ross. Thank you for coming out today. Chairman Ross was a big advocate of what we do here, and he was also very close to Kathy Sinor, Tim's wife, and they had a working relationship. And he called me today and he said, Joe, I got to come out. I can't miss it. Can't miss it. Thank you for that, because he was part of what went on here, you know, in their lives back 10 years ago. We have Joe Moranka, who is a councilman here in North Tonawanda, and we have Mayor Tylek here. Thank you, Mayor, for coming out this afternoon as well. I think I got everybody, you know, and I'd like to thank, you know, Kevin for helping us put together this, our public information officer. So thank you for that. You know, with that said, at this point, I just want to talk a little bit more about what we got going on here. You know, there are over in Niagara, or in New York State, there are over 8,000 people today presently that need organ donations. And not only organ donations, but we got to talk about tissue donations as well. I have a couple staff members that work for us in our office who have just recently received tissues, you know, in regards to donors to help them in their health issues. So that goes to show you, it's not just organs, it's tissues, it's eyes, there's a number of things that can go on out there that there's a need for. So, you know, with that said, you know, we want to do all that we can possibly do. But, you know, I talked about my cousin who left our world at an early age because of not being able to get a kidney. Out of the 8,000 people out there looking for donations, organ donations, there's over 7,000 of them that are need kidneys, that are on dialysis today. So it's important that we continue to spread the word, that my staff and our DMVs continue to spread the word. But with that said, I'm going to take it at this point now to turn it over to Commissioner Schroeder, if he could say a few words on behalf of the state.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Joe, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for having us here today. I'm an amateur historian, so I can tell you this from a historic perspective. I know Niagara County has been serving the residents here for the last 216 years. But over the last 8 years, Joe Jastrzemski has done an incredible job here serving all the residents of Niagara County, and especially for featuring Donate Life. So we want to thank you, Joe, for your service and everything that you do.
Thank you, Commissioner.
April, as Joe said, is Donate Life Month, and it is a blessing to Niagara County. It is a blessing to New York State. It is a blessing to the nation. This is happening across the nation this month. So I was in the private sector for 25 years. I was an elected official for 17 years. I served in the New York State Assembly with Angelo, and also I've been the commissioner now since 2019. And on behalf of our governor sends her regards to you, Joe, and to all of you here today. Many of you know she is the only woman governor in New York State history. Some of you might know that she's only the second governor from Western New York, from Buffalo, New York. But what you may not know, she is the only governor in New York State history who actually has run a DMV. And that's good for me, that's good for Joe, that's good for many of us, because she understands the issues, especially Donate Life when she was the county clerk in Erie County. I also want to thank Jason White for being here, Associate Commissioner Patrick Curry with DMV. He is with us here today too. In 2019, when I became the commissioner, I decided that I would go to all 51 counties who have a county clerk who are DMV agents. I wanted to see them. I wanted to know them. I've been here to see Joe and to see others. One time, Joe, I was up in Cattaraugus County, and one of the MVRs came up to me and said, "I've never seen one of you before," right? But I think it's important to be around, to come around, and to understand what the issues are and what it is that we're here to do. And so I just want to thank Joe for his leadership, not only for what he does as county clerk and for what he does here with DMV, but is also his leadership with talking with the Niagara County Legislature. And I know you passed a proclamation declaring April Donate Life Month. These things are important so that your constituents know the importance of all of this. And also, Joe, I want to thank you, all of your offices. I know Niagara Falls and here and in Lockport, it's beautifully decorated. And it's also totally amazing. That's an inside decoration joke, right, everybody? Yeah. With me? Okay, yeah. So let me just finish up by saying 85% of all New Yorkers, when they check the box, they do it at a DMV across New York State. So we're grateful for that. And the Niagara County residents, over the last little while, 112,000 residents have checked that box. And the enrollment here, as Joe said, is 66%. The greatest state in the nation is Colorado, and they're at 66%. Niagara County rivals Colorado. So what I always say is go New York, beat Colorado, and with the work that we're doing here with Joe and across the state, we are definitely gonna get there. One organ donor can save up to 8 lives and can potentially heal 75 more people through eye and tissue donations. So DMV, together, we're taking this to the next level. We just had a meeting with the auto dealers associations, all the auto dealers here in Western New York, in Central New York, in New York City and Long Island. They are committed to doing their part to be helpful. I opened up the show last week at the Javits Center and for the New York International Auto Show, along with Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan, the famous comedian. He is hysterical. But at the press conference, he wasn't so funny. He was very serious because he's had a kidney transplant 12 years ago, and he is very grateful to the community and to New York State for that. So let me just say what Joe said to finish. There are 8,000 New Yorkers who are on the waiting list. These are our friends. They're our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, clergy, coaches who are on the waiting list. There are, what's even worse than the 8,000 is that there's 1,700 who have been on that waiting list for 5 years. It's unacceptable. And that is why we as New Yorkers, as Western New Yorkers, we have a responsibility to do something about it. So go Niagara County, beat all the other counties because there's competition going on this month, and go Blue and Green Day, which is tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you and your families.
Thank you, Commissioner. As he says, go Blue and Green Day. I'm wearing blue and green, you know, for the colors. And, you know, my staff, as you said, we got a lot of other counties out there that we got to beat, staff. Did you hear that, Commissioner? So with that said, at this time, I'd like to call up Assemblyman Morinello. You know, he wanted to come up. As I said, he reached out. He wanted to say a few words today on behalf of Assemblyman Norris and State Senator Orch. So, Assemblyman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, we are fortunate to have Commissioner Schroeder. He's one of us. He's from Western New York. I've known him, I got to say, 30 years. He is phenomenal, and he has not forgotten his roots. Thank you, Commissioner. Joe Jastrzemski, what more can I say? Between Purple Heart, Donate Life, every other thing he does to accommodate. But I want to get a little more personal about kidney donations or donations. In 2003, my brother-in-law received a kidney. He survived until 2018. It wasn't the kidney, it was just his age and other issues that he had. Recently, within the last month, a colleague of ours in Albany's 14-year-old son was hit by a car and he has succumbed to the injuries, but he languished on life support for 3 weeks. And why? Because his parents had to make the decision to end his life because it was the right thing to do. But they donated all of his organs, and they sat there with this young man for 1 week until they can get the recipients ready. So that young man is now living in approximately six other individuals, okay? 14 years old. So it shows the importance of donating organs. It shows the importance of donating life. You know, this is going to sound comical, but I asked my doctor to check me out. I'm 78. He actually told me I'm too old to be a living donor, but to make sure my name is still on the list because my organs still could be used. So my name is still on the list. It's never too late. But I will now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to present a citation on behalf of the New York State Assembly to Paulette.
And Tim.
Well, I was going to do one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
I know it's your show. I'm sorry, Joe. No. Paulette, I would like to congratulate you and tell you how wonderful it is to be able to be here, to just be able to honor you.
It's wonderful to be here as well.
Oh, it's great. Tim, where'd you disappear to?
Right there. Paulette, could you stay up?
Again, on behalf of the New York State Assembly. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to me. And please, sign those forms. Get your family to sign the forms. We can live on in this world. Modern science is amazing and what they can do. So just go do it, sign up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Assemblyman Morinello. Greatly appreciate it. At this time, if I could call up Andrew Dugan from Senator Orch's office, and if you would come up as well, Cameron from Assemblyman Norris's office, and Tim and Paulette.
Tim, Paulette, for Assemblyman Norris' office.
Okay. We just wanted to congratulate
you. Who's first?
Tim. Okay. Yes. So we just wanted to congratulate you guys on all the work that you do. Congratulations on your neighbors. It's awesome. And thank you so much for everything you guys do. Appreciate it all this. And I just wanted to present you for citation on behalf of the Assemblyman. For the honor. Yes. And we have one for you as well. Like I said before, thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, if I could ask Paulette and Tim to come up here for a minute. So, you know, it was, believe it or not, Tim and I go back to 2005 when I first met Tim. Over the years, you know, we've become good friends. But with that said, I ran into Tim, you know, a couple months back, and he was telling me, hey, Joe, can you remember it was 10 years? Time flies. Time flies, because I remember it was 10 years ago that I went to Tim's benefit. It was 10 years ago when I went to Tim's benefit, maybe a little bit beyond 10 years, but when they were having a benefit for him because of, you know, the problem that he was having in regards to having to have a heart transplant and so on and so forth. And I said, Tim, that's incredible. Can we tell your story? Can we get together and tell your story? And in the beginning, Tim was a little reluctant because he's a little bit on the private side, but he told me, you know what, Joe, I'm going to do it because of the importance of that. So at this time, I'd like Tim Sinor to tell his story. Tim, tell your story.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
10 years.
Good man. Good man. Woo-hoo! Hello, all. My name's Tim Sinor, and I'm a heart transplant recipient. But I have my story right here, okay? Ready? So I'm so thankful to be standing here. 20 years ago, I was very sick and was diagnosed with heart failure from a virus. I lived with this condition for 8 years, and then in 2013, I was admitted into Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York. At that time, my son, Nathan, was 2 years old, and Caitlin was just born. She was 2 weeks old. And that's when I met Paulette. So we've been friends for many years. Being so ill, I stayed in the hospital for the next 5 months until July 2013, when a matching organ donor was found and I had a successful transplant surgery. I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary last year with family and friends, and it was great. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the generous gift of life from the donor and their family. It gave me a second chance to be with my beautiful family. Excuse me, my strong wife, my beautiful kids, grandma, and my sisters. I'm really blessed to be here to watch the kids grow up. So, but I'd like to finish up by saying, if you're not registered as an organ donor, please consider it. One day it may save someone's life. I am living proof. Thank you.
Good job, buddy.
And, you know, I would also like Paulette to come up and tell her story as well. Paulette, would you please come up and tell your story?
This is so great. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I celebrated my 10-year a month after Tim.
Yes.
He got there, I believe, a month before me.
Yeah.
And we met right away because I saw the baby. And, you know, you got to see a baby when you're in the hospital. And I got to tell you, we went through a very, very long, trying road. Back then, heart transplants were very difficult to get a heart, and not to mention how it had to be matched. And I waited 4 months, and Tim waited 5. And I had the opportunity to have a heart, and I was all prepped for the surgery, and the heart died. And that's common in heart transplant people, as they wait, sometimes it doesn't always work out. But at that time, you know that you're there, and you just pray that that person comes. I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy when I was 30 years old, and my mother passed at 66 of the same disease, but they didn't think it was hereditary. They do now. I did not receive a transplant for cardiomyopathy. I received a transplant because I kept going into VTAC. I would go into cardiac arrest for no reason. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. So I had defibrillators from age 35 until I was 58. for my transplant. And those, it would fire, it didn't fire for like 2 years, so I thought, oh, I got this. I'm gonna go for a little jog. Well, it didn't work out so well. I went into cardiac arrest, and my girlfriend was jogging with me, and she called 911, and the EMTs came, and they said, your heart rate's better than ours. That defibrillator worked. Walk home. So I did. So I wasn't allowed to exercise. I wasn't allowed to drink. You had to have low salt levels. And you had to prepare for that moment. And at that time, apparently, I wasn't ready. So they expected it to happen within 5 years. And the more I went into arrest, the closer I got. And I was sitting out on my front steps with my neighbors one day, and I was having a glass of wine. And that was it. I went into arrest. I fell forward. I face planted. And I have a scar here above my eye. And I was lucky I didn't take my eye out. And they called 911. And Richard, honey, called Richard. And they took me to Buffalo General Hospital. And they said I had to go to Strong. That there was no turning back. The defibrillator had fired 4 times. And at that point, it would only fire 5. So they knew I was close to no longer making it. So they took me in an ambulance to Strong, and I registered, and they did the evaluation. And I believe Tim and I were both 1As, A1, 1As, which puts you at the top of the list. You can't go home. Some people have to go home and wait. Well, we couldn't go home. And Tim was on a Swan. Can you explain what a Swan is? I didn't have one.
You had on your Swan neck. Yeah. It was some kind of tubes that went into your heart, I guess.
And you had medicine?
And they monitored and they put medicine.
But you had medicine?
Yeah, medicine.
To strengthen the
heart
muscle?
To keep you going.
Yeah. Okay, to keep you going.
Yeah.
I didn't qualify for that because there was nothing they could do for me. Mm. So they put me on a little heart monitor that I carried on the side of me, and that was it. That's all they could do. And people said to me, why is your face all smashed up and why are you in a heart transplant clinic? And I said, well, I went into cardiac arrest, and I am waiting for a heart. But I didn't have any of these machines.
Right.
And I just walked around with my little pole with this heart monitor. And I didn't feel sick. They would let me walk up and down the stairs. They would monitor me. I would ride a stationary bike. They would let me kind of do things to a certain level so my heart rate wouldn't go up. But when you, after you have a transplant, you have difficulty walking, everything, you know, you get atrophy. And do you know how long your transplant was? How long it took?
13 hours.
13 hours? Richard?
You?
Yours was 5.
5.
What?
So I was lucky enough to meet my donor family. Hmm. And they reached out to me. I reached out to them. It took a year. Through New York State, and you have to have permissions and you have to wait. And they lived in San Antonio, Texas. And my donor went to Central Michigan College, and she was there on a soccer scholarship. Her father was in the service. He was a colonel in the Air Force. And she started soccer in Germany when she lived in Germany. And they had 2 adopted daughters from Japan, and they had 3 of their own. And Josephine, that I received, was 19 years old, and she was coming home from a soccer tournament, and she was in the back seat of a vehicle with 2 other soccer players, and a gentleman had cut them off, and the driver overcompensated and rolled the car, and Josephine went out the back window. So she was taken to Lansing, Michigan. And they were told she was not going to make it. Her parents flew in from San Antonio. And this is where the discussion, the teachings, the education, everything everyone does, they were told that she wasn't going to make it, and she was brain dead. And a day later, they asked the parents if they would consider donating her organs. And they said, absolutely not. We will not do that. So they called home to tell their other 4 children what had happened, that she wasn't going to make it, and that these people came and wanted her organs. And her next sister down, Catherine, said, Mom, Josephine just talked about that. the people from Donate Life came to the school and talked about organ donations. And she said if anything ever happened to her, she would want to donate her organs. So they donated her organs. And the lungs were damaged during the removal of her organs. And so they contacted me because they figured, well, I had the next great organ. And I did go and meet them in San Antonio, and I had gone to the cemetery. She's buried in the military cemetery where her father and mother will be. It was it was great to meet them. It was a very difficult process because I knew they had lost a daughter. But they were very thankful for me, and to have someone live through an organ donation of their daughter is incredible. She said, her mother said to me, I don't feel that Josephine lives on, but I know she saved your life. It was kind of a strange statement, but to me, Josephine does live on, and I do my best to stay healthy and do what I'm supposed to do. And Pasquale and I are very good friends, and he's had me speak at high schools and different occasions, because if people don't know, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to tell you this beautiful story of this wonderful family. And I will, the whole process, it's difficult. I gotta say, it's more difficult on the family than it was on Tim and I. They went through hell. They don't know if you're gonna make it. They have to take care of you when you get home. One of the patients, his name was Terry, he used to make little things on the side of his bed. It would hold the remote controls, remember that? So he wouldn't lose his remote control. He was very handy. And when I got home, I had a recliner. I had a Lazy Boy recliner. And you know how they had the handles? Well, I couldn't put the handle down or up. I couldn't do anything. And of course, I wanted Rich to sleep in bed, and I had to sleep in a recliner because I couldn't lay flat. Well, I'd want to move, and I couldn't move. So he made me this handle out of PVC pipe, and he wrapped it in pink tape so it would look girlish, and it slid over the handle, and I could move the recliner without having to get Rich up every time. I hit a little bell.
It gave you leverage.
It gave me leverage, yes. But I'll tell you that Tim, just so you know, Tim and I did the best we could when we were in Strong. It's not all, you have to make it as best as you can. We were in seventh floor, 734. And the nurse's station was kind of an octagon shape. And we were all the way around the nurse's station. And they could see all of us and all of our rooms. And we had private rooms. We were lucky enough to have a private room. And I don't know if any of you remember Gates Orlando, who played for the Buffalo Sabres. He had transplanted a year before us, so he would tell us, okay, now you got to ask for a refrigerator, you got to ask for this, you got to ask for that. And then people would start to bring food to us, and of course you have to have this low sodium, and you weren't supposed to have caffeinated coffee, and the nurses would get me Jamaican me crazy coffee in the morning. And the doctors would come in and they'd say, is that decaf? Oh, absolutely. And I had a friend that brought us a big jar of candy. And Tim would come in, and he'd have his mask on, and he'd sit in the chair in my room, and he'd lift up his mask, and he'd put a Tootsie Roll in, and he'd put the mask back down, and if a doctor walked in, he'd stop chewing. And
good instincts.
We had, I have to say, because Strong told us this, that in order to wait for as long as we had to wait, because of lack of donations, we had to find entertainment for ourselves, because it's very depressing when you're on this floor constantly seeing the same people every day. But they become your family, and you share all different stories. And remember, we had the poppers? All of you who have parents or grandchildren, they have the animals that the ball fits in the mouth, and you squeeze it, and the ball pops out. Well, we had poppers in the hospital. One of the guys started that. And we would pop each other. We'd walk by, and all of a sudden, you get hit in the eye. You get hit in the butt.
Cheap fun, yeah.
And it was crazy. And one of the nurses had a water gun, one of the long. And all of a sudden, he'd pop up from the nurse's station. We'd get soaked. but it was how you got through it. I had jigsaw puzzles in my room. I was up until all hours in the morning, and the nurses would come in and do puzzles with me when it was quiet. But you had to get through it as you waited. And we had movie nights, we had snacks, we had my nephew that came in from Virginia with pizza. Mm-hmm. Then one day, Tim came in to visit me, and he was sitting in a chair, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and we were chatting. It was in the morning, and Tim went into cardiac arrest in my room, in the chair. He flaps over. Now, the nurse's station is right here, and I'm in shock. And Chad, good-looking, tall, athletic kid, he looked like a surfer boy, and he used to always do this to us, pole vaults the nurse's desk. All the alarms are going off. They bring the cart in, and he's going, "Tim, Tim," and he picks him up and sets him back in the chair, and all of a sudden, Tim wakes up, and he's like, "What's going on? Where am I?" And I'm just sitting on the bed going, "Oh, my," well, I didn't say, "Oh, my God," I said something else, and they took him. Did you know, do you remember if it was a wheelchair or a gurney? I can't remember.
The wheelchair.
The wheelchair. But anyway, they took Tim, and it was the most devastating day the entire time I was as strong. Well, Tim got his heart the next morning. And I walked across the nurse's station to go and see Tim that night. And I said, "Are you okay, buddy? You sure you're okay?" And then he came back later and said, "Guess what? It was the best day. It was the best day." And I got to kiss him goodbye, and Kathy and the family were there. It was a wonderful day because I was so happy for him, because I know he didn't have much time left.
Pretty cool.
And the day he went home was probably the saddest day because my buddy was leaving me. And I knew that I hopefully would be right behind him. So a month later, I got my little message from the doctor, and away I went. And it was really something. And the people at Strong, I cannot tell you what a donation center that is. They are incredible. And if it wasn't for all of you and the people that understand what donating organs and blood and tissue mean, it's just, I played tennis. I couldn't play tennis. Now I play pickleball. I couldn't go up and down stairs. Now it's like, Richard and I danced a lot. I couldn't dance. He still flips me around a little bit once in a while. We still have our fun, and it's amazing because I went from doing absolutely nothing to the life that I live today. And if it wasn't for Donate Life, that wouldn't have happened. So I have to really thank all of you. And my buddy, we've gone through a lot together. I just called him this morning. I said, "Tim, I'm shaking a lot." He said, "It's that damn medicine." He said, "Cut it in half today. Take one in half, cut it in half."
Dr. Tim.
Yeah, Dr. Tim. So that's what we do. We call each other because we don't know. It's every day is a learning experience. You just live your life to your fullest, and you behave to the best of your ability, and you go on because we appreciate what we have, and we want to live for as long as we can. We want to honor the people that lost their lives and their families and everyone here that teaches everyone about it. And just how wonderful it can be. And obviously, Tim and I are living examples of that. And I hope that we live a lot longer.
Yes, we will.
So anyway, that's my story. And thank you to my Richard. If it wasn't for him, I don't know what I would have done. As you know, as Tim said, his family, they're what gets you through. And all of our people, it's strong. And Pasquale and I, as you know, have been friends for a long time, and he's done a lot for me and shared a lot of things and has listened to me a lot. He's probably like, "Here we go again, aren't you, today?"
Never get tired.
So anyway, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for being here and everything that you do. Thank you so much. And New York State, sign that license, donate those organs. Well, let's go.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm like a cheerleader.
Love you.
How wonderful is that? And look, at as they mentioned, you know, Rich, awesome. Kathy, family,
yes, awesome.
Thank you for being there for them through the difficult times. And here we are 10 years later, because of your love and your commitment on their behalf as well. Pasquale, Jason, Commissioner, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You guys do a great job on behalf of Connect Life. and getting the word out. Thank you so much for doing that. I want to recognize a couple of my supervisors, Diane, Jennifer, Kelly, I don't know where you are, Kelly, our supervisors, our DM staff. You guys do a tremendous job in continuing to get the word out, to check the box, as the commissioner says, on behalf of our DMV. We have, if you don't know, you can register on dmv.newyork.gov. That's where you go to register, to check the box, become organ donors. You can do it online, you can do a paper trail, or you can come in when you come into one of our DMV offices. We'll do it for you as well. I'd like to thank you all for coming out. I want you to know our state assembly, and just so you know, our legislators, they're always behind us. And as the commissioner said, every year come April, they sponsor a resolution to recognize Donate Life and Connect Life. So thank you for our county legislature and our assembly. If you don't know, it was back a few years ago, our state senate and assembly passed a law that allows 16-year-olds now to register to become organ donors. So Angelo, please take back to your assembly and Assemblyman Norris and State Senator Ort for doing that, because, you know, at 16 years old, I know in Lockport, back a few years ago, they had a club in their school to sign up organ donors. So, you know, it would be great if we can get that in all of our schools here in Niagara County, any way that you can continue to spread that word. We have a little cake over here. Please stay afterwards. Tim?
Blue.
Paulette? Yeah, it's blue. And unfortunately, it's blue and white. It's not blue and yellow. But come over, cut the cake, have a little water, some lemonade, and some cake on behalf of celebrating 10 years of added life, and hopefully 10 more years and on. Thank you all for coming out.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.